Welcome to the Compliance Advisor Podcast from SurgeCompliance.com. Each week, editors Scott Peterson and Alex Howard interview leading experts on risk, governance, and compliance. Here we are at SurgeCompliance.com. We've got another podcast. Today it's with Anne Margulies, the CIO of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Very welcome to have you here, Anne. Thank you.
Thank you.
So you've been on the job now for 20 months. What have you learned about the role of a CIO in state government?
That it's a really big job. I think as a citizen, one tends to underestimate the scope and magnitude and complexity of the systems that are required to keep the business of government running.
What have been your biggest technical challenges as CIO of the Commonwealth?
I think the same as any CIO, which is to try to invest in the right technologies at the right time that will truly deliver some kind of business value, and in doing so, smoothly managing the migration from one generation of technology to the next. So in almost every aspect of the technology services we deliver, we're crossing some significant generational bound, whether it's from legacy systems to service-oriented architecture, whether it's from traditional telephony to VoIP, or even in our website from standard websites to now Web 2.0.
So you have been actively considering service-oriented architecture and web services. And how's the integration of those kinds of architectures going with existing enterprise systems at the state?
That is the significant challenge. As I said, it's smoothly migrating from our existing environments and our existing systems to the new. I think we're right now we have a lot of prototypes underway, and we're taking first steps, but it will be take us years to fully migrate.
One of the things that certainly many of our listeners may know about you, but in case they don't, is that you came to the position from the executive directorship of OpenCourseWare, which was a large-scale web-based initiative that provides free worldwide access to MIT's course materials, and you managed that project from startup to now being a permanent department at MIT. You also serve as Assistant Secretary for Information Technology for the Commonwealth, so I have to wonder immediately, what lessons from OpenCourseWare have you been able to apply as a CIO and Assistant Secretary, and will there be more online learning or other initiatives coming out for education on the digital platform?
They're two very different jobs, actually, but I think what is common or what I've brought to this role at the state has more to do with providing easy access to government services to citizens, well as trying to provide complete transparency for government. So just as with OpenCourseWare at MIT, we provided free and open access to educational materials as a way to democratize education. Now here at the government, we're very eager to use technology to provide much more open and easy access, not only all the information that the government collects, but to the services we provide.
What tools and strategies have you used to work towards that goal?
The focus we have right now is to support the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, so all of the federal stimulus funds that are coming our way. And so we're focused on taking the mass.gov website from where it is today to now taking advantage of some of the Web 2.0 technologies to not only be able to report information as real time as possible, but also to allow people to be able to manipulate and use the data themselves to analyze how the money is being spent.
The initiative that you've introduced then is to actually, as you say, make it more efficient and accessible through IT and through Web 2.0 tech. Which kinds of Web 2.0 technologies do you see as most promising, and which have you already adopted and seen some return on for the state's investment?
What we're using a lot now, or it seems to be growing significantly, is wiki sites. So we're using the Confluence platform. to establish wikis for a lot of these projects that we have underway. For the for our recovery website, we're hoping to be able to use additional capabilities on top of a wiki platform that will enable people to take advantage of GIS data and financial data and to be able to look at a map and drill down and see what kinds of investments we're making community by community.
When it comes to balancing openness and transparency and seeing how funds are spent right down to the community level, to the individual level, how do you balance openness and any kind of privacy concerns that might come out of that?
That's a great question, and one we have to be very careful to address as we go forward, because we, of course, treat everyone's private information very, very seriously, and we've already heard stories of governments, in the interest of providing transparency, inadvertently providing access to private data. So we're paying a lot of attention to this, and we're trying to make sure that we have very clear data classification schemes so that those data that should be held private, we can make sure that we're keeping secure.
So data classification is one of the keys to ensuring privacy in that sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So as you mentioned, the Commonwealth has set up an enterprise wiki system, which is called Confluence. What have you learned from using a wiki, and what advice or best practices would you give to other CIOs, whether they're state CIOs or enterprise CIOs or even a small business owner, considering using a wiki for their organization or for their clients or constituents?
Well, we're just at the beginning of using it. We're using the Confluence platform, as I mentioned. It's called Common Wiki here at the Commonwealth, and what we need to make sure that we're doing is supporting it adequately as usage grows. So we're just taking small steps in initially to make sure that we can support it so that it's a reliable service. And I think, as with other technologies, you just need to take small steps first and just let people use it and have it evolve and grow in a natural way.
When it comes to the social aspect of the technology as opposed to the underpinnings, do you seed the wikis first and then let people go, or do you start them and then point different officials or other bodies of the government? Do you seed that to citizens? What's your approach to creating them, and what have you found that works, that doesn't work?
Well, the wiki sites that we're using for projects are, at this point, just open or just being used by the state workers. We have separately on the mass.gov site opened up a number of blog sites with citizens. So we're using them in two different ways. I think the wikis, step one, we're using internally. Step two, later on, we'll open those up to the public. But right now, our mass.gov site, as I mentioned, we've launched some very good blogs where we've gotten some terrific feedback from citizens.
How do you deal with that onslaught of feedback? Certainly, their potential is, as you say, to get really good feedback, but it's also there to get some pretty unconstructive comments, too, often when comments are opened up in blog posts or there's ability for people to post any kind of content they'd like. The gates are opened up for people to express comments that are crude or negative or defamatory or otherwise. Are there free speech issues when you do it at the state government level, and how do you deal with moderation?
Essentially, what we do is we don't censor. We do want to make sure that we protect free speech. However, we do have a moderator for each blog, so that if there are statements made that would be offensive or completely inappropriate, then we won't publish those. But other than that, we really are encouraging people to be open and honest and encouraging free speech. And the consequence of that is you really need to be open to the criticism of the public that you serve.
So essentially there is a moderating tool where the comments will go towards the individual blog moderator, and then he or she can decide to approve them or not.
Okay. Yes.
Going to where a lot of that frustration may stem from, obviously the nation and the Commonwealth is going through a significant economic downturn. How has that affected your work as a CAO for the Commonwealth? Do you use open source tools more now or less?
We're moving somewhat more toward open source and moving more toward any type of technology that we can deploy to be more efficient. And specifically for the Commonwealth, we're trying to standardize our technology more so that we can be more efficient in supporting it.
Has the Commonwealth made any progress towards converting all state documents in a clear text standard? The open document format would be an example of that.
That is part of our standards, we have deployed it in a voluntary way across the Commonwealth.
So one of the stories that we're absolutely tracking here at searchcompliance.com, the state passed a tough new data protection law last year, and many experts and analysts have hailed it as one of the toughest in the country. It's certainly quite comprehensive. What lessons or advice would you share towards public or private entities working towards compliance with it?
Well, the same law that the state passed for businesses here in the Commonwealth, we passed for state government ourselves, so that we are holding ourselves to the same security and privacy standards that businesses are expected to. What this has done is to accelerate and mobilize all of the security professionals in the Commonwealth to come to really focus working together on a standard-based security plan and to help us to build a culture, a security culture here, that as well as to make sure that we are protecting all of the data that we hold on behalf of our citizens, make sure that we have all the tools to detect any kind of intrusion, and when and if there is any kind of an intrusion, to make sure that we're correcting it very, very swiftly. So here in the Commonwealth, for the state, we're trying to make sure that we're leading by example. And we have, a really wonderful Chief Information Officer, Dan Walsh, who chairs an Enterprise Security Board. And the Enterprise Security Board has really done just tremendous work on behalf of the Commonwealth to make sure that we're keeping all the digital assets as secure as possible.
What role did the legislature give to Dan or to you or to other state CIOs in crafting this data protection legislation?
Are you talking about the data protection legislation that applies to businesses or that which applies to us in government?
How about either or both?
The legislature passed the bill that applies to businesses and certainly consulted with us in building that legislation. The laws or rules that apply to us were actually accomplished through an executive order that the governor released, and certainly we were very involved in the language that applies across the state. And the two sets of legislation, that is the executive order and the Commonwealth's new law that applies to business, are very, very consistent with each other.
201 CMR 17 and the executive order are quite congruent then.
Yes.
Okay. Next question is a little bit more broad. Vivek Kundra, the nation's new CIO, has talked quite a bit about cloud computing. And it's a overused buzzword, but it does have some significance in terms of adopting the considerable external resources that various enterprises, including Google and Amazon and other competitors, are offering to companies for both storage and application hosting, et cetera. How and where would the state leverage those kinds of resources? What concerns would you have What potential do you see for CIOs to tap into cloud computing?
Well, I think the obvious concern would be around security, but we won't be any different from others, so one has to assume that those companies and vendors who are offering cloud computing will come up with very robust security regimes. I think I think cloud computing offers another great option for government organizations. Here in the Commonwealth, first of all, we're consolidating our own data centers and resources, so essentially creating an internal cloud computing that we can provide to agencies. I think a logical progression or next step might be to move to other types of cloud computing, either for backup or recovery or specialized types of services.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Compliance Advisor Podcast. For more information on risk, governance, and compliance, visit searchcompliance.com. If you have questions or other feedback about this episode, please let us know at editor@searchcompliance.com or comment on our blog at itknowledgeexchange.techtarget.com/IT-compliance. You can also follow us at IT Compliance on Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.